I think it's very clear, to everyone that these days, preceding and including Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, are days that we have a number of different emotions. I guess the first emotion is we'd like it to be over already and sit in the sukkah. You know, whatever it is, to whatever extent we feel it, it's a burden, it's a pressure. Secondly, it's times that we know that the stakes are high. So we would like to be able to achieve, I would say, kol mishalois libeinu letoivo. All of the desires of our hearts should be able to be fulfilled in a way that's good for everyone. And but on the other hand, sometimes we're a little confused. Like, what should we do? How should we go about it? What's the formula? What's the system? What's the best way to accomplish? And then we're certainly confused about a lot of the extra things that we say, especially in the slichas, which, you know, are a little bit, we may not understand, or we may not have the patience for, and maybe going too slow, or maybe going too fast, and, you know, this is also a bit of a problem. So I would like to just try to address this issue, maybe in a simplified version, which I think might be helpful. And I'd like to begin with actually one of the introductory phrases that are, it's actually based on a posuk that we have in the early slichos. It's Ki al rachamecho horabim onu betuchim. We talk about Hashem's rachamim. It's really what we want. Rachamim means mercy. Rachamim is defined by the Meforshim as the mercy that's evoked by seeing suffering, seeing difficulty, seeing need, seeing challenges. In fact, they distinguish between chus verachim. Chas is also a type of rachamim. But they say, we say in the slichos, chusa ala moloch, have mercy on the work of your hands, on your creations. And they say that the word chus, that type of rachamim, is I feel mercy because I made you. You're my handiwork. You're my creation. I'm responsible for you. Rachmonus is poshet a response to the difficulties, the challenges, the embarrassment, the feelings, the sensitivities, the needs of people. And we talk about rachamim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, we know we're not talking about human mercy, because human mercy is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any human attributes. However, it's to be understood in human terms, or the closest way of understanding Hashem's response to our suffering, to our challenges, to our difficulties, in human terms, is, oh, he has rachmonus. He sees, he takes pity on us, he sees our problems, and of course, then he wants to do something about it. And that seems to be the beginning of the good. Actually, we say this every day, three times a day in Shmoneh Esrei. Hatoiv ki loy cholu rachamecho. You're the good one, Hashem, who has his... Your rachamim is never withheld. It doesn't end. It's never stopped. V'hamerachem, and you're the merciful one, ki lo yisamu chasodecho, whose kindness never ceases. And it seems there's a connection between his rachamim and his kindness. That because he sees the challenges, the problems, the difficulties, the pain, the suffering, the embarrassment that we have, so based on that kaviyochol, so to speak, in human terms, feeling of mercy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meitiv. He does chesed. He bestows good. He looks at our shortcomings, at our needs, at our distress, at our emptiness, at our lack, and fills it with chesed. But it seems that it's all a product of his rachamim. And that's what it says, HaMerachim, you're the merachim, ki loy samu chasodecho. who whose chesed never ceases to exist. So all the even the chesed Hashem, the kindness that he bestows upon us, is a factor of his rachamim. And we know, we mentioned last week, I think it was, the Gemara that says three things: one who wishes to be a chochem, one who wishes to be rich, one who wishes to have bonim schorim. The way to it is totally in bakoshes rachamim. We ask Hashem for mercy. There are conditions of other things that we have to do, but they're only conditional. But what it's really depending on, as Rashi says over there, it's really depending ach verak on bakoshes rachamim. That's really what it's all about. We ask Hashem for rachamim. And when Hashem sees that we are beseeching him, we're begging him for his rachamim, then he responds to that. And we say that for Chochmah every day, Ovinu, Ho'ov, Ho'rachamon, Hamerachem, Rachem Oleinu, V'seim B'libeinu, Lo'ovinu La'haskil. We ask for Chochmah. We ask with so much Rachmonos, Ovinu, Ho'ov, Ho'rachamon, Hamerachem, Rachem Oleinu. Because we have a lot of, when we miss something, it's a big Rachmonos, and Hashem feels our pain. And every time we suffer, he feels our pain. And every time we're in distress, he feels our pain. And every time we're lacking, he feels our pain. Kavi Yochol. He's behold tsoroisam, tsorosam loitzor. He has tsar in all of our tsar. Whatever tsar, whatever situation, Hashem feels rachamim, and with his rachamim, he responds. So basically, what we are interested in doing is to evoke divine mercy, evoke rachamim. And we're all in the need for rachamim, because no matter how much we think we may deserve, I never, personally, never met a person. Let me just finish the sentence. I never met a person who only wants as much as he deserves. Everybody that I know wants far beyond that. I'm sorry, what was the question?
What do you mean to evoke rachamim? Either you're pitiful or not.
No. Well, you see, like this, the person has certain situations where he doesn't have to evoke rachamim. But there are some situations where, based on the balance, and this gets a little complicated, between what I deserve and how much rachamim is how bad it is compared or taken together with how much I deserve or don't deserve, so there may not be a natural level of, or there may be a natural level of rachamim which would not get me everything that I want, would not get me beyond everything. So we ask Hashem, we say it in Shemoneh Esrei every day, a few times, we say, Yehemu rachamecho Hashem Elokeinu. Arouse your rachamim. We ask you to take additional rachamim. Rashi says, the pshat in Parshas Shmos, that Kodesh Baruch Hu look and focused on the suffering of Bnei Yisrael to be merachem on them. That pay an extra attention, give it an extra measure. That's one thing. The second thing is, sometimes when we ask for rachamim, it's a bigger rachmonus. You know, you got a person who's say, oh, I have a pain. The pain is hurting me. Oy vey, it's terrible. Okay, and I go on. I say, Lord, please help me. I beg of you, please help me. I have such a pain over here. The asking evokes even further rachamim. Mm-hmm. Because now it's a bigger rachmonus, because now not only do I have to respond to a person with pain, I have to respond to a person who's begging, and it's enhanced pain and enhanced embarrassment. David HaMelech said, Olakai b'cho botachti aleivu isho, I trusted in you, don't let me be embarrassed. It's embarrassing. Here I beg Hashem.
But don't we know the concept that if a person brings it on to themselves, it's not the same thing?
That's
they put their hand in their pocket and purposely picks out
But that's not relevant to this. That's not relevant to this. If a person asks for racham, a person has a tzorah.
It's not itself embarrassed. The person's going to end up being more embarrassed because they're asking.
No, it doesn't matter. But that's Hashem tells us that's what we should do. And when we do that, he gives us the eitzah. He told us to be mispal. He told us to be vakesh rachamim. That's his directives. But he has systems, listen, to fully understand it. Excuse me, to fully understand the divine system is beyond our human comprehension. But to understand that Hashem says that there are circumstances that evoke more. For example, one could understand if a person has a pain in a finger, so it evokes rachamim. If two fingers hurt him, it evokes more rachamim. If three fingers hurt him, it's even more. If five fingers, if 10 fingers, if toes are hurting too, and is everything else, The more it is. And the same thing with Arba Kosha. When a person stands and is Mavakesh, he is not only focusing the Rachmanis on it, he's in a situation where there's more, I feel more sorry for him. He's begging. I said, listen, it's a simple thing. A poor man, you know, a man is poor, and he didn't ask you for money. You feel sorry for him. He stands there begging with his hand like this. You feel even more sorry. It focuses it and it enhances it because he's begging. Now you have to not only not send him away without money, you have to send him away with the frustration that he asked for it. You know the famous story from the Satmar Rebbe. It has nothing to do with this, but it's a cute story anyway. Guy came in and begged him for $1,000 as a big sorrow. He told the Gabbai to give him 995. So after the guy left, the Gabbai asked him, why couldn't you give him 1,000? He says, if I gave him 1,000, he'd leave here upset. Because he said, I should have asked for 2,000. But when I gave him 995, he knows he picked the right number. Anyway, that's not relevant to all this. But begging is an additional rachamim. Anyway, okay, so that's it. So the kids are like this. So we want, what?
What's considered rachamim? If the guy gets hit by a bus and he dies right away? Or if he only breaks a hand, like what's considered rachamim?
Well, I know if a guy dies right away, the racham could feel the pain, but there's nothing we could do about it. So we're obviously talking about a person who's in a situation in life where the evoking divine rachamim is going to help us. So let me just continue. So anyway, we started with al rachamecha rabim ona betuchim. We would like two things. We would like to request rachamim. And we would like to be able to rely, to trust that Hashem will in fact grant us that rachamim. And those two things together can be truly a winning combination. How do we do it? So I want to bring to your attention that the slichas is really all about that. Because in the slichas, the main part of the slichas, of course, is the Yud Gimel Midas. And the paragraphs in between are bakoshes, they're requests of Hashem for certain things. But the real power of the slichas is the reciting of the Yud Gimel Midas. And of course, the paragraph before, which describes that Hashem made a bris with Klal Yisrael. He made a bris with Moshe Rabbeinu and for all the future generations. And that is that when Klal Yisrael performs this Seder of the Yud Gimel Midas, they will not be turned away empty-handed. They will not be turned. We ask Hashem in the Kel Melech Yoshe, we ask Hashem, Kel Harei Solonu Loi Mar Shleish Esrei, the God who taught us to say the Shleish Esrei, Schor Lonu Hayoim Barish Shleish Esrei. Please remember today the bris, the covenant, the deal that you made with Moshe Rabbeinu when we say Shleish Esrei, we say the Yud Gimel Midas. K'mo Yishal Dat Olam B'Kedin K'mo Shekosuf, as you said to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yer Hashem B'onon, the Yisyatzi V'Moshe Hashem came down from the mountain, this was after the Egel, and he called B'Shem Hashem, and the Chazal even say something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him how to go about this. We don't understand exactly what that means. It says he was Misatif Metalis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, covered himself with the talis and showed Moshe Rabbeinu how to mivakesh racham, how to mivakesh the Yud Gimel Midas. That I don't know what it means, but anyway, and we recite the Yud Gimel Midas, which are the fulfillment of that bris. What do the Yud Gimel Midas mean? So it's, I think it's significant to understand. We say Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'Chanun. These words all talk about the mercy that Hashem has. Rashi brings in Chumash. Hashem, the first one, is the Midas HaRachamim, the Midah of mercy that Hashem has even before a person does anything wrong. Before he ever does an Avera, Hashem has, he's a pure person, a little child. He's pure, he's innocent. And Hashem looks at him and sees his difficulty, his challenge, his suffering, his pain, his emptiness, has Rachmanis. Hashem, the Midas HaRachamim La'achar Sheyechto V'Yoshuv. This person, Taka, wasn't such a tzaddik, and he made mistakes. He did averus, but he did tshuva. He has the same midas harachamim. He's just as pure. He's just as vulnerable. He's just as worthy of receiving the divine mercy. Hashem looks at his situation the same as he would look at the situation of an innocent person who had never sinned.
Why is it that one who doesn't have air gets less rachamim?
Well, it seems that the even Rachamim has its halochas. In other words, Hashem created the world with a system. And in the system, not everybody is worthy of the same amount of rachamim than everybody else. Certain situations are worthy of more rachamim response, and certain individuals, based on their level and their actions and many other factors, are worthy of more rachamim response. So memela, it's not just, it's not all across the board. It depends on many, many. In fact, the Rabbeinu Bachaya, I think it is, I haven't seen it for years, calls the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim Bahadin. There's Rachamim and Din are tied together. It's one of the factors in the way Hashem judges and actively participates in this world. One of the things are Rachamim. But Rachamim of a person, sometimes we're not earning Rachamim, and we say, Ein Bono Masim, Stoka Seimono. That's completely undeserving. That may be even beyond Rachamim. There are many different midas, and we don't exactly know how all of them work, but we're trying to get at least a general idea. But anyway, Kale. Kale, Rashi says, in Chumash is also a Loshen Rachamim. So, and then Rachum is a Loshen Rachamim. So there's four Loshenes of Rachamim. The Goin, however, says on Kale, Kale is also a Loshen of Gvura. So he says, Kale refers to the midas HaRachamim of Hashem, but how he overpowers his anger in order to have Rachamim. So there's Rachamim. I look at your situation, Hashem says, I see what you're going through. I have Rachmonis. You pure, I have Rachmonis. You were not so pure, but you're now becoming good. You're doing tshuva. You're coming back. You're getting close to me again. I have Rachmonis. Now, I'm angry. I mean, again, Hashem doesn't get angry. It doesn't have Rachmonis. It's all these. The Rambam's law is Mahu Nikra Rachum, Mafatoni Heyei Rachum. It's only ways human concepts that we apply to Hashem in order to be able to deal with Him, to understand Him. So He says, I have reason to be angry at you. But you know something? I'm going to overpower that anger so my Rachamim should flow. So again, Kale is a Loshen that we invoke from Hashem, that even though you may have justifiable, of course, if it's angry, if he's angry, it's justifiable reasons to be angry at us, but overpower it. Kale, he's Kuyvish Kasoy, Kedei L'Rachum. Rachum, he's merciful. V'chanun. And Chanun is Hashem gives Matnas Chinom. So the progression of various levels of rachamim leads to, I may not be worthy, because you know, if I'm worthy, I get what I'm supposed to get. If I'm worthy, I don't need rachamim. If I'm worthy, I don't need chanino. If I'm worthy, I don't need anything, because I'll have it. But unfortunately, most of us work compared to the chasodim that Hashem gives us and wants to give us. Most of us are working on a deficit. We're not necessarily worthy of all those chasodim, and we have to get it through other means. So it says, Rachum v'chanun. And you have Rachmonos on us, you see what we're lacking, you see our suffering, you see our pain, you see our emptiness, you see our distress, you see our confusion, you see our ignorance. And we ask you, Matnas Chinom, just give us Chanun, have Chanino. They translate it as gracious, but I don't know what gracious means, but Chanino is a Loshen Matnas Chinom. Now, there's another very important ingredient that we have to know about Hashem. Part of this bris, and part of what helps this bris to give us confidence to be al rachamecho ho rabim onu betuchim, to be able to rely on Hashem's rachamim. And that is as follows. We make mistakes. We make mistakes. And if, in fact, the appropriate amount of anger would be forthcoming because of our mistakes, then who knows if we'd be earning or deserving of any rachamim, of even any matnas chinom. There's a limit. Even a matnas chinom has gedorim. Not everybody deserves matnas chinom. I have to be not the guy that deserves it because I earned it, but at least not so terrible that I don't even have the right to get a matnas chinom. So we say that Hashem is erech apayim. Erech apayim means he's slow to anger. And really, I think that's, you know, it's like a slow fuse, forgive me, kavi yochel, that, you know, there's anger coming. There should be anger. There's explosion that should take place at the shortcomings that we have, but the fuse is long, and there's plenty of time as the fire burns on that fuse to put it out and to do something about it. And that's what we are asking with the Yud Gimel Midos. V'Rav Chesed V'Emes. And here, Hashem's Chesed, as we pointed out before, is also a factor of the Rachamim, because it says, "Hamarachem ki lo yisamu chasodecho." He's the Merachem whose Chesed doesn't cease to exist. So from his Rachamim, from that Rachmunus that he feels our pain, comes his Chesed. So we say he's Rav Chesed. He loves unbelievable Chesed, and is always Mate Klapi Chesed. Whenever there's a question, he's always looking to give us the benefit to do Chesed. The Emes. And Emes is also very important, because what we want to make sure is that if there is any schus out there, that it doesn't get lost. You know, at Kodesh Baruch Hu, as the next one says, Noitzer Chesed Lo Alofim. He guards chasodim that were done for 2,000 generations. If my great, 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 great grandfather, Avraham Avinu, was not even 2,000, it was a few hundred generations ago. If he did a chesed, he pays it back to 2,000 generations. So he guards chasodim, he pays it back, and he's emes. If something that in any way, in any remote way, that I deserve this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not withhold it. And it's very important in order to have that bitochon in the Rachmei Deshmai, in the Rachamim of Hashem, and in the Chesed Hashem, to know that He doesn't withhold. If it's there, if it's on the slate, it was on my Avraham Avinu, on my Yitzchok, on my Yaakov, on my great, 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 great grandmother. She did this amazing thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is... What?
Has there anything left?
Oh, so that's a whole discussion. I can't go into that. That's a good discussion in the Gemara, whether kolus chusoves or not kolus chusoves.
Why do we need to add another Yud Gimel? Why is one of the Yud Gimel Midos is to check, make sure that Hashem can remember?
Well, because the idea of the Yud Gimel Midos is the idea of the Yud Gimel Midos is, as we mentioned at the beginning, there's a bris, there's a covenant. There's Hashem promised us something. And when we perform the Yud Gimel Midos, the effect that we wanted to have is Hashem should have rachamim, but there's another effect that happens in the process, and that is our bitochin al rachamecho harabim onu betuchim. We are relying on the Yud Gimel Midos, and we are relying on your chesed. And when we come to recognize the extent of your rachamim, it gives us not only the fact that we requested the rachamim, but we relied on it. And we know, we've learned many times, that there's a power of tefillah, and there's a power of bitochin, which is even beyond tefillah. That's the famous Orach Chaim, where they're standing at the Yam Suf, and Paro is pursuing them. There's wild animals on both sides, and Moshe Rabbeinu is davening to Hashem, and Hashem says to Moshe, "Matitzak elai, what are you calling out to me? Dabre over the Yisrael Yiso, go talk to them and let them go into the Yam." So the Orach Chaim says, "Matitzak elai, who should he call out to?" That's what you do, you daven to Hashem. So he says, no, he says there was a kitrig. There was something that the Sotan had a right to be makatrig, accused Klal Yisrael because of what they had done in Mitzrayim, and Tfilah couldn't help at that time. So Hashem says to him, Matitzak elai, now's not the time for Tfilah. Tfilah is min animna because of that kitrug. Dabar al b'nei Yisrael viso. It's their emunah and bitochon that's going to save the day. If they'll go into the Yam and they'll show that they have bitochon, they have emunah, they have bitochon, that's going to work. So we know this both. So the Yud Gimel Midos, we want one thing to evoke the divine mercy. We're remembering this bris that he made, that he said it will not be turned away, and we're relying on it. And by the way, if you don't rely on it, then it really creates a kitrig the other way. Because, hey, you made a bris, I'm saying the words, and I really don't believe this stuff anyway. I'm really not counting on you. No! I promise! It's a promise! Shekolz man sheyasu lefonai seder zeh lo yachzeru milfonai reikom. They will not be turned away empty-handed. So now we have this vehicle, so we're evoking the divine, we're attempting to evoke the divine mercy, and we are relying on it. That
doesn't answer MS though.
What?
It doesn't answer why we need a daven for actually make sure something didn't overlook.
No, that's part. No, because part of what? Two things. Number one, every time we ask for something, even if it's MS, we ask Hashem, give us what we deserve. The schus of the tefillah enhances our ability to get. You know, sometimes sometimes it's like, maybe that has to do with what you said too, but that's a very complicated sugi in the Gemara there. But sometimes Hashem finds, you know, even if kolus chusavis, but he finds that, well, you know, there's no real schus, but there's something, there's some benefit that you have. Your midas have now been affected. We ask Hashem, find something, everything, whatever it may be, and bring it all about us in a positive way. Let me just finish this. All right, go ahead.
Know what you said in their emuna.
What?
You mentioned their
emuna. Where? The Yam Suf. If they don't have emuna, you can't have bitochen. You have to believe Hashem can split the sea, he can save us from this raging sea, and we're relying that he will do it. So that's both. Okay, let me just...
Why do I have to believe that he can do it?
You can't have bitochen if you don't believe he can do it.
Trusted.
What? If he can't do it, there's nothing he can do about it.
Emuna is the knowledge that he's
like emuna. We'll talk about it later. Anyway, listen like this. Rav Chesed the Emes, Noitzer Chesed La'alof, we mentioned, and all of this we need for ourselves because we have to feel what we put into the Yud Gimel Midos is the confidence that bris is going to work. Is the confidence that when we recite this, when we focus on the Rachmonis of Hashem, on the Chesed of Hashem, on the Emes of Hashem, on the patience of Hashem, then we know that He has promised. And this is, by the way, a level of bitochon that's beyond much of the bitochon that we feel normally. Because normally I have bitochon on something, well, he didn't promise me, but I trust he's going to give it to me anyway. Okay, there is such a thing, for sure. Not as easy as, he promised! Imagine you go to Hashem, you promised! That's the best thing. You go to a parent, right? You go ask for something, it's one thing, but you promised! There's nothing to talk about. How could you? You can't go back on your promise, you know? Anyway, so no, it's a chesed la'alofim. No, you say ovoin v'fesha v'chatoa v'nake. And you know what else Hashem does? We have chatoim. And when it comes to having bitochon, there's something that interferes with bitochon. Yes, Hashem has full rachmonas, and he's Hashem, rachum echanun, erech apayim, rav chesed, no, it's a chesed la'alofim. But you know something? Oy, 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 am I full of sin? Am I full of shortcomings? Am I full of mistakes? Am I full of all kinds of nonsense, what I did? No, you know what Hashem does? He carries ovoin, that's mazid, things that I did intentionally, bopesha, rebelliousness, that's things that I did mamish with rebellion, v'chator, that's averis that I did b'shoigeg, all of them he carries, he overlooks, see, this is what Hashem does. Not only that, let me just finish. He's venake. You know what venake means? The Bali Musa say it's like dry cleaning. If you wash something a little bit, you put some water on it, it could leave a stain. You send it to dry cleaning with all the fancy chemicals, you know, then they mamish get out the stain from its roots and the thing can be perfectly clean. He's venake. He's menake. He cleans it out. The chet is as if it never existed. These are the... What? He carries. It means he overlooks. He carries it. Yeah,
doesn't mean he takes some...
No. That's what he carries it, meaning... Here, let's see what they translate, okay? We'll get the official translation. Forgiver of iniquity. He forgives.
Okay, but how does it come from Nose? No. Nose sounds like he holds some of the responsibility because...
No. I don't know. He carries it.
Maybe.
Listen, he made us. He made us. He gave us a Yetzirah. And not only that, he gave us a Yetzirah that we can't beat. B'chol yom v'yom Yitzray shal adum is gabrelov. V'ilmol ha'kodesh boruch hoi Yisrael yocholov. So maybe he says, I take responsibility, or whatever it is. Okay, either way, Rabbi said. So the point is over here. Let me just, please, I want to finish up. It's late. So the point over here is very simple. The point is very simple. What we're doing with the slichas, which is the Yud Gimel Midos, the Iker, is two things. Number one, yeah, we're trying to be me'orer divine mercy, and that's what we need for whatever we want. We don't want to rely on what we deserve, because most of us would not let's just say most of us are looking for beyond that. You know, let's not get personal. Most of us are looking for beyond that. That's number one. And not, so we're looking to get that. Number two, we're taking advantage of this promise, this covenant, this bris that Hashem made with Moshe Rabbeinu, and that says, you will not be turned away empty-handed. When you recite these Yud Gimel Midos and you focus on them and you internalize them and you recognize that these are the attributes, the Midos HaRachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way He conducts His world with kindness, with benevolence, with chesed, with rachamim, with chanina, then when you recognize that, He says there's a special bris that you will not be turned away. And when we recite that and when we realize that there is this bris, we are then, as it says at the beginning in the introduction, we have a promise, and therefore we can rely on Hashem's rachamim. And when one relies on Hashem's rachamim, so then not only has he given himself a much greater menuchas hanefesh because I'm relying on Hashem's rachamim, but he's generated the greatest of schusim, even greater than the schus of tefillah, to be able to achieve that which he wants in life. So this is what we attempt to do. And therefore, I think that it's a very, very significant and very worthwhile endeavor. Now, even if we feel that, you know, a lot of the psukim that are said and a lot of the bakoshes that are said, today there's all kinds of translations in English and in linear translation and in Hebrew and whatever. But Lemaise, even if we find that difficult, but at least the Yud Gimel Midos, that's the meat of it. That's really where the power exists. That's really where the opportunity exists to be able to beseech Hashem to give us way beyond what we deserve in the schus of that bris that He gave us. It's certainly something I think that everybody should try to pay much more attention to, because the benefits are endless.